Last week, I spoke from Luke chapter 1, 38. And I want to pick up with where I left off for a few minutes. Luke chapter 1, verse 38, if I'm in the right place. And it says here, and Mary said, Luke chapter 1, verse 38. By the way, we can start at 37, because it's an angel speaking to Mary, and he said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Can we say that?
Amen.
With God, nothing shall be impossible. I remind myself of that often.
Yes, hallelujah.
Because some situations just seem
unfair.
Yeah, unfair. There you go.
I agree.
And when I see a situation that looks hopeless, I remind myself that with God, nothing is impossible. And so it's so important that we invite Him into that situation. And here was what He was saying was, listen, even your what she called, Elizabeth was her cousin, is pregnant, who never could get pregnant, and you know what? And you're going to be impregnated by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Now, I don't know about you, that's hard for me to get a handle on.
Yeah.
But for God?
Nothing is.
Okay, two of you got it. Let's try one more. Ready? But with God?
Nothing shall be impossible.
Shall I have you look at the person next to you and say that?
Nothing shall be.
There you go. Because if you met some impossible people, I have met a few. They seem impossible, but you know what? With God, He can turn. How many of you? I'm telling you, I have been turned around. And I prove that with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
So I just want to encourage you this morning. And yes, what God was proposing, that she would be impregnated by the Holy Spirit, because she said, how can this be? I've never known a man. And God said, the Holy Spirit will cause you to become pregnant. And her response was,
let it be done unto me.
Let it be so unto me. By the way, that is the lordship of Jesus Christ, of us giving Him rule in our lives. Joseph, at the same time, because he found out she was pregnant, was sitting there thinking about divorcing her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, they had never consummated the marriage because they were only engaged. There were two parts to the marriage. They got engaged and they got married. And so he was thinking about putting her away. When an angel shows up, or he has a dream of an angel showing up, saying, don't put her away. What is in her is of the Holy Spirit. I want you to take and marry her and not know her sexually until Jesus is born.
That's right.
And what was Joseph's response? He didn't say anything except for got up and went and did what God told him to do. Once again, declaring the lordship of Jesus Christ in his life, of God, his yielding to God, his will and his desires. Because in that culture, for a woman to be pregnant outside of wedlock makes you an outcast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Stony.
In our society, it's kind of a badge of blowing it in God's face or whatever, I don't know. It's just no shame, no sorrow, no remorse. And so he gets up and goes and does it. I remember the day that I made Jesus Christ Lord of my life. And God kept telling me, go back to your wife. And I said, no. And I said it five or six times. However, there came a day when I finally said, I got desperate enough saying, life without God makes no sense. And God, I need you. And he said, go back to your wife. And finally, you know what I did?
Back to your wife. You listened.
I went back to my wife. That was me declaring his lordship over my life. Let me say something to you today. If you have never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, you are not born again. You're not in a relationship with him. And you need to yield your will back to him.
Amen.
Okay? He gave us a free will. Whether we're going to love him or not, we are free to choose. However, if you want to be in a relationship, it's important that you yield your will to him, because he knows what's best for you. You can trust him. So it's the wisest choice you'll ever make.
Yes.
Wisest choice I ever made, because he began to change me from the inside out. And so with Joseph and Mary, they yielded their will to God. Let me see where I'm at. So I want to pick up, and this morning, the title I guess I put on my notes is, Coming to Know God After Saying Yes to His Lordship. God wants to develop a relationship with us. And I want to talk about the story of Joseph and Mary. Okay? They get, it says, and Joseph got up and went and married Mary. Okay? However, they did not consummate the wedding, so he was still only legally labeled as engaged. Because until they had sex in the Jewish culture, it was not a legal marriage. It's called consummation in our culture. And so they did not consummate the marriage. So when you're reading here, you might find, say, I thought they were married. They were legally, however, they didn't consummate it. All right? So they get married and they get set up in life and going through life like most all of us do. And all of a sudden, something happens. And there's a declaration that all the people in the kingdom were to go back to their place of lineage and be taxed. That meant that Joseph had to go where?
To Bethlehem.
Well, remember, they went through all the process of getting their life in order, and I'm sure they set up a household and they did all the normal stuff you would do if you were married for the next several months while she grew pregnant, showed her pregnancy more. Okay? And here she is, probably 8 months into the pregnancy. And we know that because it says when they get to Bethlehem, she was great with child. In other words, she was really pregnant.
Ready to get them out.
And that's when you're hanging out like this and just saying, wait till this is over. Yes.
I can't imagine riding that donkey.
I believe that Mary said that very thing. God, I said yes to you, trusting that you care about me. And now, in you being God, you knew this was going to happen and let it happen. Have you ever said that to God before?
Yes.
Many times.
Yes. By the way, God did know, because it fulfilled one of the prophecies they had the prophets give, saying, and he will come out of Bethlehem. So was God doing it just to torment them?
No.
He was making sure that nobody had any question or doubt about who Jesus was. And so can you imagine, because she was ready to deliver and delivered very shortly after they got there, I imagine she was, like, say, 8 months pregnant. Can you imagine taking a trip of any kind, especially on the rough roads they had and the transportation they had in that condition?
No, thanks.
It doesn't say, however, when you read it, it doesn't say she complained.
No, it doesn't.
Interestingly enough.
Doesn't mean she didn't.
That's a woman saying that. You know that because you would have, right? And you're just like Mary. We need to change your name to Mary.
Being on a donkey, that's
No, you know what would be worse is having to walk it, not ride a donkey.
I don't know about that.
Yes.
I was walking Glen 8.5 months pregnant, and I don't know how she did that. So.
She saw what?
She walked Watkins Glen 8.5 months
yes.
pregnant.
Yes. I probably was with her when we did that.
Yes, you were.
I was with her.
I was 3 months pregnant and still galloping horses.
Isn't that interesting? Some people are really brave.
Yeah.
Hey, just having a kid takes a lot of bravery. Okay, with alone all the other stuff.
Men couldn't handle it.
But we're great coaches. We make you feel bad by saying it's really not that bad. I'm right here, honey. Do you want me to go get you something?
Oh, no, like,
give me a dill pickle. I know. Give me a dill pickle.
Wait till next time, dear.
There you go.
Just in the nose.
Okay. Do you mean that after you've made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, or God Lord of your life, that everything doesn't just come together? It's not happenstance that she had to go to Bethlehem because God wanted to verify who he was when he was born, that men might know this is the one that was prophesied of by Micah, because Micah 5 prophesied that that would happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so, as soon as they get into Bethlehem, let's read it. Pardon? Okay, I'm looking for where I left off. Let me see. That's Luke 2, 1 through 5. And then let's go to Luke 2, 6. I'm going to find Luke 2, 6. Here we go. And it says, by the way, Luke chapter 2 is where it says everybody had to go back to their house of their lineage and be taxed. And Mary and his spouse wife, she was great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should deliver. What does that mean?
Baby.
It's time for a baby. And she brought forth her first son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger. Why? Because there was no room for him in the inn. Now remember, they did God a favor of being willing to carry Jesus. You would think that God would make it easy. And yet, they get there because all the people were coming back to do the taxation. There were no homes available that they could rent. There was no room for them in the inn. There was no place for them. And yet, God made provision that for a stable. How many of you would like to deliver your baby in a stable? Some people probably would, just because they could do the in-your-face stuff.
In-your-face.
Yes. And I'm. Listen, I want us to understand. This morning, the reason I want to talk about it, these were people like you and I.
Yes.
That had yielded themselves to the purposes of God. And yet, everything didn't go the way they had thought it should or hoped for.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Any of you ever go through any of that?
Mm-hmm.
However, God made them a place in the stable.
Yes.
Amen.
By the way, there's no prophecy about that, so it wasn't to prove that. I believe that God wanted them to be like normal people. Just giving your life to God and yielding your will to Him does not make everything easy and okay.
That's right.
And if you think that if you come to Jesus, now everything, it ought to go fine, you shouldn't have any problems in life, you have a wrong idea of who God is and what He does and why He does it, because we're going to talk about it before the end. But I just want you to see what they went through, okay? Because when it came time, they didn't know anybody in the town. They didn't have any house. They in the stable. They deliver this baby all alone and isolated from family and friends. And if they didn't trust God, they would have had every reason to grumble and complain. Before I get done today, I'm hoping for us that the next thing, that things don't go the way we had hoped or thought they should, that we will remember Mary and Joseph, because it doesn't record that they did any complaining or any griping. And realizing that God is with you and directing you. The interesting thing is, God appears to some shepherds out in the field. And what do? The angels proclaim that Jesus is born and He's wrapped in swaddling clothes and in a manger in Bethlehem to these bunch of, by the way, shepherds were outcast. And so He invited them, the angels invited them to go see. And so here Mary and Joseph are all alone, and then all of a sudden, these people come and tell them that angels appeared and told them about the baby Jesus to go and worship Him. All of a sudden, they had somebody to celebrate with.
Yes.
Have you ever got a new car?
Yes.
I know there's only one or two hands that have gone up. I have got several new cars. So, and when I was a kid and didn't take care of my money very well, I like to have new cars. I had two or three brand new cars. Anyway.
And then he got
me. Do you realize, hey, Waylon, he has outdone me. Okay,
No.
He's my friend. He was discipled by me. He didn't get it all. Okay. It's interesting that God wanted somebody to celebrate with them. So He sent a whole group of people to celebrate, and I believe that they bought presents of food and so on and so forth, because God did care about them. And there are times in our journey in life that things won't be all we hope they were, but because God loves us, knows us, and knows what we have need of, He will supply what we have need of when we have need of it.
Amen.
And so He supplied them with people to celebrate and rejoice in their stall. That's a chuckle, guys.
Amen.
Angel would have made it, decorated it, and made it look nice. So, what happens next? Let's go on. So the angel, the people appear, and they tell them that they're there. And what happens next? The shepherds return and glorify God. Let's go now to Matthew chapter 2. Uh, I want to pick up with Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. And when they were come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary and the mother and fell down and worshipped. It's talking about, I don't want to read the other part, it's talking about what? The Magi. Mm-hmm. How many Magi were there?
We don't know.
Thank you. Somebody realizes we really don't know. However, how many gifts does it mention?
Three.
If you notice, it says they came to the house. Here's what happened. I know it ruins our thoughts in our picture of what happened. Mm-hmm. The Magi, I do not believe, came to the stable.
Nope.
Because I think they were a few months later before they showed up.
I think it's like a year and a half later.
What's that?
It's like 18 months later.
I'm not going to get technical because I don't know. I'm just smart enough to realize they got themselves a house finally because everybody paid their taxes and left. So they could get a house. They're going to get their life settled down. They now have the baby. They have the house. They finally are settled down. And lo and behold, Magi come along. And what do? They give them gifts. It's amazing. No, they don't. They don't give a warning. God does. But what happens is they give gifts, and it's amazing. God gave them provision when they needed provision.
Yep.
Did you hear me this morning?
Amen.
God made provision when they needed provision.
Yes.
Why? They had made him Lord.
Exactly.
And so they worshiped and gave gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I don't know how much frankincense and myrrh went for the pound, but I believe that it gave them money, that things they could sell in order to have an income. And here they are, finally settled down in the house, and they finally have some money and an income and ready for life to be normal. Unfortunately, it is the new normal for them. Because what happens? It says, and when they were, verse 13, Matthew 2:13 says, and when they were departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and be thou there until a word, for Herod will seek to kill the children and destroy them. They just got settled in. They got life going back to normal. And what does God do? He protects them from harm and danger. You see, we can get our eyes set on, oh no, I've got to move again. Why did God do that? He was protecting them. And so, once again, they pack up and they move to Egypt. And we don't know much about their stay in Egypt, interestingly enough.
Mm-hmm.
However, it once again proved, because the word says that Jesus would be called up out of Egypt, right here, verse 14. And when he rose, he took the young child and the mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod. And it came to be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son. So basically, it was verifying that Jesus was who he said he was. Because the prophecies sorted out who really was the one and who wasn't. And so God took him to Egypt to protect him, but more than that, to verify that Jesus was the Son of God. And so there's some things that happen in your life, at least mine, that you just don't quite understand. Any of you ever have stuff that just, why, God, why? It just doesn't make sense. They probably didn't know that prophecy, by the way.
Right.
And what did they do? They trusted God, so they went to Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
There's some things in your life that you will not understand, and you're going to say, but God, I made you Lord. How could this thing happen to me? And what we got to do is understand God loves us, and he cares about us. And when you don't understand, you know what? It's because you don't understand.
Exactly.
It isn't that God doesn't love you. It's you don't understand. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. So what happens next? If you read on verse, let's go 19. And Herod was dead. Behold, the angel of the Lord appears in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and says, "Arise and take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead that sought to kill the child alive." I imagine when Joseph pulled Mary aside, "Mary, I got something to talk about you about." You know what she probably said? "I know, we got to move." Have you ever felt that way? They said, "I sure wish God would make up his mind." Mm-hmm. However, God had his purposes.
Yes.
Okay? And I just want to encourage you this morning before it's said done. It's coming to know your God.
Yes.
And as we watch and see how God works with two people who gave themselves wholeheartedly to God, I'm sure there were some times they just didn't understand. So you know what they had to do? Trust. Trust the same God that had sent an angel and started it to begin with. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to do that at times. Because I know he is trustworthy.
Yes.
And we need to learn, by the way, from Mary and Joseph, because there's no place that ever said that they did complain. Angel believes they did because that's what she would do. The rest of us aren't like her. Okay, and so, okay, anyway, all right.
We gotta be
careful. Gotta be careful who you hang out with. Okay, let's go on a little further. So, he comes on up, and they come heading towards to go back to Israel, and we're about ready to wrap this thing and go someplace with it all, okay? So God, verse 20 says, "Arise, take the young child and his mother and take him into the land of Israel, for they are dead that sought to kill him. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when they heard that Xerxes did reign in Judah in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside and went to part of Galilee. And as he came and dwelt in the city of Nazareth," it's interesting, he got sidetracked to go to Nazareth. Now God's going to help us understand why. "Then it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the prophet, saying he was called from Nazareth." You remember the one that cried out, "Jesus of Nazareth?"
Mm-hmm.
You, there are all kinds of Jesuses in that day that use that name. And the reason they said Jesus of Nazareth is where he came from. Let me tell you what it was like in Nazareth. Here's what they said about Nazareth. "Could any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Has God ever put you in a place that you have to say, "God, why Nazareth?" It had a reputation of no good thing or no good person could come from here, and yet Jesus was declared to be a Nazarite, and God deliberately took him there.
Yep.
But you know what it did? It helped some people realize that God could relate to them.
Yes.
Because he came out of Nazareth.
Yes.
All right. There are three things that I found that God did for them. He provided for them.
Yes.
He protected them. And he directed them.
Yes.
God will do the same for you and I that have said yes to the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you've never done that, I would encourage you to say, "God, I give my life to you. I put it in your hands because I can trust you." Because as we look at this, we find out God had a reason he did everything he did.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't understand it right then. It's easy for us to go back and look at it and read it and say, "Oh, of course." If I didn't have my whole sheet of papers in my Bible that tell all the prophecies, that's what I did. I went back and say, I wonder what this fulfilled, and looked at the prophecies that God had given, and I realized, oh my goodness, God did that so that they would know who Jesus was and could verify that he was a son of the living God.
Hallelujah.
So God, listen, the things you don't understand in life, I'm telling you, if you will make him Lord and know that he accepts you and loves you, you will be able to walk through anything because you know that he loves you and he's faithful.
Amen.
Now, we're going to do more than that because I want to read some verses to you. I would encourage you to write them down. Can we start by reading Psalms 37, 23 through 25?
The three chapters?
No, just verses. Psalms, I said 37, 23. Psalms 27. Did I say 37? I'm sorry. 37. We are going to read verses 23 to 25. The steps of a good man, by the way, I believe godly man, are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. I believe that he is the one that is. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him by his hand.
Hallelujah.
I have been young, and I better let somebody else read this. This doesn't apply to me.
And now you're old.
I have been young. You talk like that, and you won't live to be old. I have been young and now I am old, yet I have never, listen, here's a testimony. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread.
Glory to God.
Listen, you can trust God.
Yes.
With everything because he is good and he is faithful. And your step, listen, if you have said yes to him, your steps are ordered by him. Because you have yielded your rights to that, he will do that for you. So you'll know that wherever he takes you, he has something good in mind for you. And it may not look good, it may not feel good. I imagine she started by looking for banana boxes by the hundreds. I use banana boxes when we move. We became pros at it. Be exact, we probably have 50 banana boxes in my garage right now.
Just in case.
Just in case we got to move. Banana boxes are hard to come by. I imagine back in their day, they were really hard to come by.
You like a set,
too. Listen to me. Here's what God says. If you have said yes to my lordship, I will order your steps.
Yes.
As we look at what happened with Mary and Joseph, we see how God directed them step by step. And even the things they did not understand, because they trusted God and said, yes, I yield myself to you, God, they did what he did cheerfully. And we can too. If we really know who our God is, we can rest where he takes us and puts us.
Thank you, Lord.
Because the steps of the righteous are ordered by God.
Amen. That's my life verse.
Amen. Let's turn to Romans 8:28. We all know it.
Here's another one.
Here's what God says to us. For we... What?
No.
Oh, good. Do we all know?
What is it?
Yes. Romans 8.
Do we behave that way?
No.
Then we know. Because he says this, we know that all things. What things do?
All things.
All?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
All things work together for those who love God. That means, listen, If you love him, you will keep his commandments. It's saying you will make him Lord of your life. If we love him, he already loves us. The question isn't his love. He loves the worst of sinner, me. The question is, do we love him? If we do, then we will make him Lord. And I'll talk to you about that in a few weeks here and show you that that is true. Okay? So, if we love him, let me see. Let's start all over again. We know that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God, right? And all things will work together for them that love him. Every situation he will turn for your good. Even the ones you don't understand.
Amen.
Especially the ones we don't understand. But there is a qualification there. What is it? That we love him and that we are called to do his will. That means we have to make him Lord. For that to apply to us, we have to make him Lord. Here's another verse that I want us to read. Can we turn to Deuteronomy 31:8? Deuteronomy 31:8. It says, "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before you, and he will be with you, he will not fail you, neither will he forsake you. Fear not, neither be dismayed," means this. Do not lose your confidence in the Lord because he is faithful. That's what dismayed, don't be dismayed means. Here, this statement, in one fashion or another, is made more than 100 times in Scripture. 100 times God says to us, listen, he will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Fear not, and don't lose your confidence in the Lord. I hope you wrote those verses down, because there are times you're not going to understand. And it has to, listen, for us to do what God asks us to do, it has to start based on one thing, and that is that we love him.
Amen.
No, and there's never any question. In your worst moment, God still loves you.
Amen.
He's never the problem. It's us that's the problem. And so it's important that when things come that we don't understand, like Mary and Joseph, that because we have made him Lord, we have given him the right to do whatever he wants to do in and through our life. And we're declaring that we trust him.
Yes.
In the other verses I gave you, your steps are ordered by God. All things will work together for good. Don't lose your confidence in his faithfulness, because he is faithful.
That's right.
But the Roy McKinney version of Deuteronomy 31:8 is, I will be with you, I will not leave you, I will not forsake you. Do not be afraid or lose your confidence in God for he is, or his faithfulness. The last thing that I want to look at is Deuteronomy chapter 8. And the reason I want to look at this is because it gives us an explanation that I think helps us when we have some question. And here's what it says. It says, "All the commandments which I commanded you this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply, and go and possess the land which the Lord sware to your fathers. And you shall remember all the ways that the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness." How many of you have ever studied the journey of Israel?
Yep.
Who was leading them?
God.
The Lord.
How do you know? Let me tell you. They didn't have any doubt. Because he was a fire above their camp by night and the cloud that kept the sun from cooking them by day. They couldn't miss him. He was there. And yet they behaved like he wasn't.
How often do we do that, though?
No. No, not us. But God gives us an explanation. Here is what he says. Listen, he tells us what he's doing and what he's trying to do and what he wants to do. And it's good to know that. For me, I'm one of them guys. My grandson is rubbed off on me. He wants to know. Every day I take him through the house, checking out the house. And he knows how everything works, the light switches. He's only 7 months old. He can turn the light switches on and off and all that. Because I taught him, because he wants to know. "And you shall remember all the ways which the Lord led you." He led them for 40 years. And by the way, they couldn't miss it because they had the cloud and the fire. So they were. He was there. How many times did they forget that? Okay, how many times did they forget that? "All the ways the Lord led you to 40 years in the wilderness." And here's what he wanted to do. "To humble you and to test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." And it tells what he did. He said, and I humbled you, and you suffered you to hunger, and fed you with manna, that you might know not, neither did your fathers know, that he might know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And it's interesting. He said, "And your clothing and your shoes did not wear out for 40 years." You didn't have any reason to go buy new shoes, women.
Oh, man.
You wore the same shoes for 40 years. That's why they were complaining. The women were complaining, saying, "These are the same just shoes the I started with. Us guys, I'll wear these until they're totally worn out, and then I'll get another pair just like them." Just like them. Yes. I know you're impressed with the way I dress. If you are, it's only because my wife chose my tie. Every morning, like Sunday morning, I give her three choices and say, "Which one do I wear, dear?" She chose this one this morning. Interesting. Interesting. Okay. Listen, let's read on. That you shall also consider in your heart that as a man chastens his son, the Lord chastens you. Listen, the Lord corrects you because he loves you.
Yes.
And he takes you through the hard times that you might develop character and come to know him. God, just like with Joseph and Mary, there are times, I'm sure, like I said, about the third or fourth time they moved and they had to box everything up and move it, they got rid of most all the stuff. Only one pair of shoes. Okay? And we don't understand. It's important we go back to this and say, listen, God is trying to do a work in me. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have any intentions of ever hurting me. Everything he allows is to do me good. Amen?
Amen.
I want to tell a story. My brother Robert, I talked with him a couple days ago. He had just got back from Africa, been back from Africa for about a week and going in two more days, going back to Africa. Because God has called him to raise up churches in a couple different, two or three different countries in Africa. And he's setting up businesses to help support the churches. They're setting up Bible schools because there's no pastors. So he's setting up Bible schools. Just brought a guy in that he hired full-time to run the Bible school so that they can have 200 pastors within a year. They need, so many people have come to Christ that they just can't pastor them. So anyway, I was talking to him, and he told me a story, and I want to tell that story because it applies to what we're doing here. He said he went to one of the places where one of the churches that they have developed, and the pastor was there, and when Robert got there, they started talking, and the pastor said, I need to tell you what happened, Robert. He said, the mining company up behind us here released some water, and it took, and it wiped out my house and everything I had in it, and it's totally destroyed. And my brother Robert, and of course that means they lost all their food, all their clothes, all their everything, and they don't have much to begin with. Mm-hmm. That's why Robert's starting businesses, so and the economies pick up when Robert goes and starts businesses, and then they tie, so the pastor can spend his time pastoring rather than working jobs, and so he's got that cycle going, so it's going real well. But Robert looked at him, and with Robert, if I have him come here, I'll tell you what he's going to talk about. Anybody want to take a guess?
Tithing.
He'll come here and he will talk to you about tithing, but he has an anointing. But he's also a multimillionaire, so he may know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Maybe, just maybe. Okay. His goal, and he made it, was to give $1 million away in 1 year, and he was able to do that. So anyway, so any place several years ago I went to Spain, and I was sitting next to Robert when these people asked him, would he go over to Africa and help with this roof on a church because it was bowing and caving in, and he said, I'll tell you, I'll go under one condition, and all of us guys can understand that. He said, if you buy me a cow so I can eat meat, he said, I'll pay for the cow. But you buy me a cow so I can eat meat because that's where I get my energy from. So anyway, he went and did this, and this is where he got introduced to these people. Okay? And of course, he talked to them about giving, he talked to them about their work ethic because their work ethic were very poor. And the reason was, he said, why don't you guys work hard? You're all the time dragging your butts. And he said, that isn't how we serve God. We serve God by doing what we do with all of our hearts. That's why you hear me say, when you clap half-heartedly, we aren't going to serve God half-heartedly. We're going to serve Him with our whole heart. And he talked to him about work ethic and so on and so forth, and ended up starting a business before he left. Chose one of the guys he talked to and said, I see potential in you. But here's the first thing he told him. He said, listen, if you're going to work, if you're going to work with me, you're going to tithe. And by the way, that's not giving $5 in the offering. The tithe is 10%, which is God's. Okay? It's not yours. And you aren't giving it. You're returning it. Because it was God's all the time. He's testing us to see what we're going to do with His money. And so Robert talked to them and so on and so forth. And so this guy tells him the story, and he takes him, he shows him there's nothing there. I mean, the thing in the mine isn't going to replace the house. And Robert looked at the guy and he said, do you tithe? He's one of the pastors that's helped him. And the guy said, yes, I tithe. He said, well, let me tell you what the story is. You see that house right there that they were building on the property with the church? And he's building a parsonage for a pastor. He said, because you tithe, that house is yours. And let me tell you what it was. The house was much larger and done very well. And of course, Robert went in and stocked it with the best refrigerator, the best cooking stove, the best everything, put solar on the roof so they can run an AC unit inside it and all that. And what seemed to be the end of this guy was just the beginning of experiencing God's goodness. Listen to me. You may be going through something right now, and it's just really uncomfortable, and you don't understand. Just like Mary and Joseph didn't understand. But if you've made Jesus Christ Lord, you can lean on Him and know that He will see you through, and He has a good end in mind for you and I.
Amen.
Yes.
Okay? And the reason I wanted to talk about it, Mary and Joseph made him Lord and said yes. And God's son was in her stomach. And God would have never allowed anything that wasn't good for his son to happen. And yet they still went through some things they didn't understand and were not easy.
Amen.
But God was with them all the time. What breaks my heart for people, listen to me this morning, hear what I say. It breaks my heart for people when I see them go through something they don't understand. And they've made a commitment of their life and their will to Christ. And they turn to a false god of alcohol or drugs. When they have the test, they turn to a false god rather than the true and living God and say, I don't understand. I don't know. But I don't have to. I have yielded my will and my life to him. And if he chooses to take me out now, I trust him. He knows what's best for me. And that's why Roberta can be cheerful in the middle, because that's where she's at today, folks. She's not anxious and she's not worried about dying. You know why? Because she made Jesus Christ Lord many years ago. And he has seen her through life and he has been faithful and true, just like he was with Mary and Joseph. And this morning, I just want to tell you, listen, surrender your will and your life to God.
Amen.
Just like they did. There's going to be some things you don't understand. But all you need to know is one thing. He is your God. And he will see you through because he is faithful.
Amen.
Yes. And then when the enemy comes along and tempts you and says things didn't go right, go numb yourself. Listen, don't go numb yourself. Run to God and say, God, you're my only hope. My hope and my trust is only in you. And though you slay me, yet will I serve you.
Amen.
We know a man that said that, huh? Yeah. We know a man that said that, don't we? Oh, that man challenges me. I never want to go through what he did, but he sure challenges me. Because Job said, though he slay me, what happens? And I lost all of his goods and all of his children and everything. And then he touched his body and made him ill beyond repair. And his whole feeling was, I have given my all to him. He has right to take it if he wants. Listen, until we get to that point, we are not loving God. Where we can receive the love of God, but we're not loving him. And the enemy's going to come along and say, oh, just go numb yourself with whatever it happens to be. By the way, some of it's he's eating, some of it's shopping, some of it's, you know, it can be all kinds of things. But when we don't understand, where are we going to go? That determines whether we really made him Lord and yielded ourselves into his keeping. Mary and Joseph did. Yeah. I hope if you haven't done that with all of your heart, that you do it today. It is so great to serve God because he's a good God.
Yes.
And I've gone through some tough seasons in my life. You know, I was homeless at one point in my life. All we had was tomato soup and couldn't afford the crackers. But it never dawned on me that God was not faithful. Because he can't be anything other than that. Because that is who he is.
Yes.
And Mary's and Joseph's story shows us that. Aren't you glad that there's somebody else that's gone through some of the stuff you've gone through?
Yes.
And can we declare, and he's been faithful, and give him a hand? Can we do that this morning? He's been faithful. Yeah. He's been faithful. We give him praise, we give him honor, we give him glory. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Interesting, as we study the two very ordinary people that God chose because they made themselves available and didn't falter in that commitment. Amen? Anybody have any comments they want to make? Or questions? We all set?
Amen.
Now, I always warn people, if you're going to talk on something, you're either going to go through it before, or you're going to go through it after. So you know, by preaching this message, you know what I know is going to happen in my life. Something's going to happen. I'm going to get married. I'm going to marry my wife. I'm going to marry my wife again. No. She keeps asking me why I marry again. I said, I'm already married. I can't do that.
Come on,
Ab. Listen. Listen. I can do this knowing that I'm going to be tested.
Yes.
Because I know God is faithful. Yeah. So anytime I speak, I've lived it out before, or I'm living it out after, you can count on it. But I can do that today and encourage you to give God that place in your life.
Amen.
In nobody or nothing else, God alone.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Awesome. God, thank you.
Thank you.
For your loving us.
Yes.
Forgive us for how we have had times where we haven't loved you.
Yes.
And we've gone off and done our own thing. And you still loved us.
Thank you.
And today I just thank you for the example we have through Mary and Joseph of your faithfulness, your goodness, your means to provide and to protect and to direct us.
Yes.
That you will do the same thing for us if we will just put ourselves into your hands. And we do that this morning. We put our life in your hands, O God. Thank you for receiving us. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.